Well, the times, they are changing. Ladies and gentlemen, demographics and home ownership is switching rapidly in this country. Is the Republican Party up to the challenge? I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angles brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Well, gentlemen, the latest stats from, I believe the organization is called Rent Cafe, so they might have a vested interest. They did a survey of America's leading cities and found that over the decade from 2006, to 2016, 25% of the top 100 cities switched from majority homeowner to majority renter. Now, in a lot of those cases, about 8 of those cities, the population is actually dropping. And it's not that the number of homeowners per se is dropping, but almost, because the population went up by 23.7 million during that time. Rental units or renters went up by 23 million and home ownership went up by 700,000. Steve, it seems to me that this practically agrarian or let's say suburbicon party called the Republican Party is not equipped to deal with a culture of people who are used to living in a beehive. Am I wrong?
Well, let me give you a little local angle. We live in the kind of neighborhood where you never used to see renters. You know, we're out in the exurbs. Everybody's got at least a quarter acre, but up to an acre or more, and all freestanding houses and all the rest. But even on our little cul-de-sac, I think three of the houses have renters in them. And so when you say rentership is going up, the thing to remember is somebody still owns those homes. All the renters aren't just going into beehives, into apartments. They're going into freestanding homes as well. And I believe what we're seeing is the result of this continuing concentration of wealth that we got during the Obama years, which was, give out the welfare to keep people on the dole and concentrate wealth on the top with speculation on Wall Street with all the free money for investors and all the rest. And this concentration of wealth means that yes, we have more houses than ever, but more of those we have more people owning multiple homes and renting those out to people who before the Great Recession would have been homeowners themselves. So we have this concentration of wealth where you see home prices going up and up and up because they're owned by fewer and fewer people who are treating them as investments and not the sort of modern homesteaders that the suburbs have been since the post-war period began.
Yeah, and Bill Whittle, this is what concerns me, what Stephen Green's talking about here, because in essence, I am wondering whether a constitutional republic is consistent with a bunch of people who are used to living in a hovel thanks to the Lord of the Manor. I mean, they are living in somebody else's house, and there was a real emphasis, not only going back to the 50s on the American dream of having your own house, but even during the George W. Bush administration, where he was trying to make it easier for people to buy homes, the Community Reinvestment Act was supposed to do that. If you go back even to Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson had this idea that the reason why we could have a successful republic on this land was because people weren't stacked up on top of each other and, you know, living on somebody else's property. You could have your own little 5-acre plot or 500-acre plot. Is renting, essentially, this idea where you're sharing a laundry room, you know, you're sharing a parking garage, if you have a car at all, you're sharing public transit. Is this antithetical to what the Republican Party should stand for?
That's a really great question. As far as the issue of home ownership and land ownership and farming and stuff and the health of a republic, there seems to be inescapable evidence that that both the Greek city-states and the Roman Empire, sorry, the Roman Republic, my mistake, were morally sound and capable of defeating, like, the armies of the Persians, outnumbered enormously, not at Thermopylae, which everybody knows, but at Marathon and many other places, because these Greek hoplites were farmers, and they were basically all tending plots that were, generally speaking, more or less the same size. And after they grew to power and they get more trade routes and so on, then more of this stuff is run by slaves and is owned by fewer and fewer people. And the moral glue that bound that society together, which was that pretty much everybody in the entire city is going to have to get out there in a line of battle, put the bronze on, and you know, face the Persians. Same exact thing happened with the Romans, where the Roman Republic was formed by a large number of citizen farmers. And as the Republic became more and more successful, fewer and fewer people owned more and more land, which were mostly served by slaves. And over the course of time, Rome lost its moral manpower. They depended more and more on mercenaries until finally there's nothing left. Victor Davis Hanson talks about this a lot. He's a farmer. I admire him enormously. And I think there's a very strong case that there's something about the quality of living on the land that produces virtue in a way that living in a city doesn't. Now, I can personalize this quite remarkably just by weird coincidence. I've basically spent my entire adult life in apartments from the age of 17, 18 when I went to college, lived in apartments. We moved into a house in May of last year, which we're renting, but it feels like we own it. And so I didn't really want to make the move because a house is all this hassle and all this other stuff. And I have to tell you, yes, and I have to tell you, I got in there and I could not believe how much of my life I had missed by living in an apartment. And I realized just sitting outside out back with the grass to walk on and, you know, having dinner when the sun goes down and seeing, you know, raccoons appear at nighttime and just bringing in the garbage bag, the giant bins from the street. It just felt like this is grounding, you know, it grounds you. And you don't have to be super, super quiet and you don't have people stomping on your ceiling and all of those aggravations and stuff. And it makes you deal with things too that you don't have to otherwise. I walked into the house yesterday, got home, walked in, and something hit me like, oh my God, what is that? Well, something of some significant size has died under the house. And I had to scoop up a possum from inside the garage that had died unknowingly quite a while before. And that's not that's not a pleasant job. And it's not a pleasant thing, but I called the owner and said, I'm going to take care of this. Can we do this, this, and this? And little things like this, these things kind of inure you to the, you know, the traumas of not getting soy milk when you ordered almond milk, you know, and they really do on a microscopic level every day connect you to the reality of life. So yes, this is a big deal. And, the ownership thing to me isn't quite so important so much as the urbanization thing. This is what Jefferson was talking about. I mean, look, I pay rent to a guy who owns the house, but I pay the same amount of money to a bank. And, you know, it's nice to own it. I would rather own it if I could. But in California, this regular house, which should cost someplace sensible, maybe, you know, $200,000. It's a $200,000 down payment. That's the 15% to buy buy this house.
Get out, Bill. So, get out.
No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. It's serious.
Yeah. I know. I follow this stuff and just get out.
It's insane. Insane. But with that said, writing a check to have grass under my feet is an enormously more humanizing experience. And I ought to know because I lived in apartments, as I said, for pretty much 40 years, and it's a remarkable difference, and I think so. That I think your whole theory makes sense.
Well, as the percentage of renters is increasing in some of America's leading cities, many of them are also experiencing flight from the cities. So population is dropping in, you know, I think 8 out of the 22 cities that experienced that flip to majority renter had a population declines. And in large part, they attribute that to people who owner-occupied homeowners who were bailing out. And oddly enough, I've got a strange take on this because I don't think that young people in particular are necessarily making a bad decision by not buying a house. Because for years, we've been sold this idea that if you own a home, it'll appreciate in value and you get the tax write-off. And in the long haul, you'll sell it for, you know, 100 grand more than you bought it for 20 or 30 years ago, and you'll make a big profit on it. But that was, in some senses, that was true 20, 30 years ago. because of the escalation in the price of housing, because of the escalation in taxation on properties, and because, frankly, everything costs so much more just to maintain a house, and, you know, you got to call in the dead possum dragging guy every once in a while. You know,
that's me, actually.
Actually, turns out it's Bill in this case. By the way, I've also had a possum in my house, so at least two out of three of us have had in residential possums. But because the cost of maintaining a home, it's actually not that great of an investment. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to rent and then to do your investing in other ways. And as it turns out, as Steve pointed out, that the way to make money in real estate is not with your owner-occupied home, but it's by buying a home and renting it to somebody else and having them carry the weight of it over the long term and then selling it for a profit. So the overall perspective that I have on this is that things are changing. I don't think the Republican Party is ready for this idea. We've already demonstrated that we are pathologically incapable of being effective campaigners in cities and, you know, in general, in urban areas, because we are culturally unlike the people who live there. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not dissing the people who live there. But what I'm saying is we need to get inside the heads of people who live an entirely different existence, you know, who are not, you know, I got to drag my trash can out to the curb tonight. And, you know, they don't understand the way we live and we don't understand the way they live. And if the Republicans don't wake up and start putting more effort into connecting with people in urban areas and specifically reaching out to renters, we're going to find that we're a party of a few gentleman farmers out in the country, and that don't a majority make. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.